Sheriff, this is no time to panic.
This is the perfect time to panic!
I'm Steve Benson.
And I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news, because nothing you're about to hear is true. Welcome to the show. Have another good one for you tonight. We got a few stories from Steve. That's me.
That's you.
Paul may have a story or two if I jog his memory of what he's been doing. We have headlines. Y'all like headlines. And then if we have time, we will have a segment of Put It on the Page.
Sounds like a show.
There's so much. There's so much that's happened in the past week. Hang on. How are you doing, man? I should have asked you about that.
You know better than to ask me that question. That's why you never ask me.
I love that your daughter asks you, why do you always say my future ex-wife instead of my future wife? She's like, don't you want to be happy? And I thought for sure your answer would be, yeah, that's why they're my ex-wife.
Well, that's essentially what I said when I told her, you know the answer to that question as much as I do.
That's a form of well, you know the answer to that as well as I do. That's a form of the, hey, how are you? You remember me, don't you?
Yeah, we've had this conversation before, because you're like, I've used that line on you before. It's like, you know as well as I do, Steve, that the earth is like, flat.
Well, first of all, it would be impossible for me to know as well as you do, even if I knew what you were talking about.
Yes.
Second of all, that's the dick move of, you remember me, don't you? So I was like, when I saw you write that, I thought, so he said, you know as well as I do, on the don't you want to be happy, does he mean that she knows as well as he does that he's not capable of happiness? Or does he mean, you know, that's why...
Your
ex.
Your answer was perfect.
Sue Ann. Yeah. Steve saying he's not happy? I'm not Paul. And Constance ain't crazy. Told you that bitch was crazy. And I did too, man. This is true. This is the truth. And I hope she's not listening right now. So I was going to ask if you had seen Avengers Infinity War, but I think it was released in Australia today.
Yeah.
And unless you went to Australia to see it. But by the time this airs, it will have come out in the U.S.
Yeah.
So will you have had seen it?
Me and the kids are going to go see it Saturday, so yes.
All right. How was it?
I'll let you know.
Oh. I guess that's the drawback of our anachronistic
well, way you know, of doing because, the show. Because time isn't linear, I should know by now.
That guy. Did you? Oh, you sent that
I
to
sent
me.
You didn't that
put
to
it,
you.
You didn't hashtag put it on the page.
No, I thought about it. But that's why I told you. I'm like, the best comment is, this guy sounds like unemployment. Or sounds like he's unemployed.
Well, for the listeners,
yeah.
It was some dude, some bald dude with a beard.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Woody.
Dressing flamboyantly.
You know, present listeners excluded. Usually bald dudes with beards are either special forces. There you go, Woody. Or douchebags, right?
He's special forces, all right.
And he's wearing, like, the dude in the video is wearing robes and, like, flowy things. Like, he's got the look of a self-proclaimed guru.
It's right? A very curated look.
Yes, thank you. That's a good way to say it. And he's talking about how time is an illusion. And, you know, we've been taught since we were little kids that time is linear, when in fact, time is not linear. And the past, when you remember the past, that's just remembering a moment that was now. And so if you're thinking about the future and you're imagining the future, it's the same as imagining the past, which is a memory. So it's like a future memory. But in the future, it's now. It's a moment. And I'm so glad that you told me that the best comment was, this guy sounds like he's unemployed. Yes. Because the reason it works on many levels is, first of all, yes, he totally sounded unemployed. But second, every time I wanted to yell at my screen at the guy, I just remembered, oh, someone's already made the best comment, so there's no use me yelling at the guy because somebody's already said the perfect thing. What I was thinking was, this is exactly the conversation that we had when we were in our 20s, right? Mm-hmm. And we read Richard Bach for the first time or something, right? And we thought we had discovered the secret to the universe.
Yeah.
There may have been illicit drugs involved. And we're just like, oh, dude, I discovered this thing. Oh, my God. We were like Fenchurch in Hitchhikers. Like, we had to run out and tell somebody because we just discovered the meaning of the universe, right? It's like, no, dude, like hundreds of millions of people have already thought of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm watching this guy in the video going, you aren't saying anything that 100 million people haven't already said.
I've heard that bullshit so many times, but his look just made the video. That's why I had to send it to you. And what cracks me up is, like, I went on to his Facebook page and I was reading the comments that went along with his video, and we probably should give the listeners his name so we can they can make fun of him too, but.
And don't worry, listeners, he's a white male, yes. So you can make as much fun of him as you want.
He's fair game. You can make fun of him the past, the present, and the future. But his, okay, somebody will put a 8-word comment on the page, on his video, and he will come back with like 9 paragraphs for his response. He loves to hear himself.
Oh.
I mean, and they're horrible. They're just so, God, I've you know, like you said, I've heard this stuff since I was a kid about this, you know, and I know people that think like this, and I'm like, if the past, the present, and the future, all of, you know, there's no such thing as linear time, how the fuck do you explain decay?
All of these things, like, came up in my head, and every time they did, I just immediately thought, this guy sounds like he's unemployed.
Yes.
And I was like, there's no use in me coming up with all these counter arguments because somebody's already said. well, and the reason that comment is so perfect is it works. Like I said, it works on a million different levels. It works on the level of there's no need for me to argue with the guy. And it works on the level of that's all well and good, but good luck getting a job at McDonald's. You know, try to explain to the guy that you're interviewing with, you know, that I don't need to show up at 8 in the morning because time's not linear.
Yeah, right? You tell your customer, you already ate your cheeseburger. You're eating it right now. I'm just going to go to Goodwill, and I'm going to get me some ridiculous clothes. I'm going to start making videos, I think, because, you know, I think I could pull off that look. I think I could talk bullshit, you know.
Well, you do it every week,
for a couple years now.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's how you pull that shit off. There's two different ways to pull it off. One, well, three. Let's say three ways to pull it off. One, if you were to do it, you would be great because you have that Paul Mooney look. Like, you got the Paul Mooney look and attitude, right? And when you get going, like after you've had a few and it's late, you're tired, and you start going and you start with the hand gestures and the looking up off into the distance, you know, it's like you preach, right? So all you got to do is make sure you're saying shit that, like, you kind of halfway believe.
Yeah. Well, a good friend of mine calls me Uncle Jack when that happens. That's my alter ego is Uncle Jack. So, because Uncle Jack will tell you everything. So.
Okay. So that's one way to pull it off. Another way to pull it off is like J.P. Sears, right? And I heard it. You know who J.P. Sears is?
No, maybe, but go ahead. He's, and
He's the ultra spiritual guy. He's got like long red hair and a red beard, and he's got. If you haven't seen it, this will change your life. Write this down, J.P. Sears. That's all you got to write down. And when you type that in YouTube, he'll be the first 800 hits because he's hilarious.
Oh wait,
and what
he's the guy that does the whole thing about if meat eaters acted the way vegetarians reacted, and is that the same guy?
Yeah, that's his.
Okay, yeah I know. He's hysterical.
He did one on the how to make a raw vegan pizza.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's going on about like the pizza-ness of it and the pizza experience, and the crust is sliced cucumbers.
Yes.
And then you have to have the sauce. One of the most important parts of any pizza is the sauce. So what we're going to do is we're going to take cucumbers and we're going to put them in the blender, blend them up into a sauce. We're going to pour that on the crust.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like the pepperoni or the cheese. No, the cheese. And so then he like grated the cucumbers to be the cheese, you know. Anyway, so that's another way to pull it off is be totally serious.
Yes.
About what you're saying, but be totally making fun of it. And I heard an interview with him and he said he would not make fun of anything that did not like that he didn't recognize himself in.
Mm.
So like the raw vegan thing, mm-hmm. he may not have gone through a raw vegan phase,
mm.
but you know, he's probably gone through some phase
right.
where he thought, oh, I should, you know, I want to do this, but I still want to enjoy pizza. So I'm going to make some. And we've talked about that on this show where we're like, dude, if you're going to be a vegetarian, make the best vegetable you can.
Yeah.
Don't like make it look like meat and try to make it sound like meat
yeah.
and taste like meat.
Right.
Fuck it. You don't see, there's nobody that takes a steak and goes, yeah, but if it only looked like a carrot, right? It'd be so cool. It'd be crunchy. If I could make it crunchy like a carrot and taste like a carrot, this steak would be awesome.
No,
nobody does that. Right? So he's probably been there in yeah. some capacity because he said he is a therapist.
Mm.
And you know, for years he did, you know, he like all of us, he's seeking the truth, mm-hmm. right? Only to discover there is no truth. And
that's the truth.
Yeah, that's the truth. But he started, he's not a therapist. He's like a life coach or some bullshit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he started realizing like how much of what we do is just totally bullshitting ourselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why he decided to start making these videos. And then like they went crazy. The guy's a bazillionaire now, but that's the second way. The third way is to do what this, whatever this guy's name is that shaved his head and grew a beard and bought some flowy robes from Goodwill is you get on there and say shit that 100 million people have already said, but you make it sound profound.
Yeah.
You're like Jimi Hendrix in Rainbow Bridge. You're like, see this top flop. It's like it's all an illusion. You have to expand your mind. You have to open your mind and become one with the universe, you know?
There's just no way that he was just sitting there and the camera was rolling and he was talking. That shit is so rehearsed. His emphasis and everything about how, like it's almost like, now here's the thing. You know, it's a speech that he has. There's no, but he makes it seem like there's gullible people out there that will go, you know, oh, he's just spouting wisdom, you know, but no, it's so, he, you know, it's been practiced over and over again and probably. Well,
check it out, man. Now that you're on this side of the mic, you know
mm-hmm.
that they probably taped, you know, 2 hours of shit to come up with that 14 minutes of whatever yes. he was doing, right?
Yep.
Because there's lots of cuts. Like the camera cuts lots of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the camera's in one angle, just focused on him and he just says it. No, the camera moves and it cuts. Yeah, because he talked for 2 hours and they're like, oh, that you were stuttering right there.
Yeah. Yeah, some poor SOB has to clean that shit up.
Change the channel, Marge.
You know me, I like to read.
Mm-hmm.
And by read, I mean listen to audiobooks.
I did that just recently for a research project, so I can't say anything.
Ah, gotcha. So I heard this thing, you know, one of my favorite audiobooks is World War Z by Max Brooks. Mm-hmm. It's like an all-star cast. He's got everybody's in there from Alan Alda to Henry Rollins. It's, you know, it's performing this audiobook. It won freaking awards out the yin yang, right? Mm-hmm. But it's really good. But one of the one of the things that happens after the apocalypse and the U.S. government kind of gains some control, but everything's gone to hell in a handbasket, is the way that our economy currently exists is just before the zombie apocalypse is the culture or the economy's become very specialized. So you got people who are good at reviewing contracts. You got people who are good at making sure people come in on time, doing performance reviews, making sure that the clocks are set properly. But in terms of who knows how to fix shit or do shit that actually is important, like after the zombie apocalypse, they find out that it's like only one in like five people have any useful skills.
That's probably a pretty... it's probably more and
most
than
of
that,
them are but... immigrants.
Oh, okay.
So they like they go through this one thing like the they form a like an education initiative where people who know how to do shit are teaching the account executives and agents, real estate agents and stuff how to do shit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the classes, like one of the students, is just like calling the instructor by her first name, not calling her Mrs. whatever, and just being really like condescending. And the author, like the narrator, can't figure out what's going on until he finally finds out that was her maid before the zombie apocalypse. So her maid is now teaching the class on how to like clean stuff, you know? So anyway, one of the comments he made was, these are people who, you know, if their appliances broke, they didn't run out and buy a new appliance. They figured out how to get, you know, they'd replace the part. They'd figure out how to get every last, you know, moment out of that appliance, right? Well, our washer broke. and what it was doing, it didn't break in a very obvious way. What it was doing was, you know, you set the washer on whatever cycle you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it gets to the end, the buzzer sounds and it stops and waits for you to come put the clothes in the dryer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, our washer decided it wasn't going to stop. It was just going to go, I'm going on to the next cycle, whatever's next on the timer, right? So you got the, you know, permanent. We talked about this a few weeks ago, all the different cycles on the washer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why do you go straight? You go straight from aggressive to gentle.
Yeah.
Like there's no moderation in between. Like, how about a kiss on the cheek or something, right? No, it goes.
I'm glad you went there because I almost did.
It's straight from, hey, how you doing, to muff diving, right? So our washer would just, like, it would be done and it would just keep going, right? So I ordered this part. It's $120-some and it kind of stung. Because I was like, that's $120-some, but I was like, hey, a new washer is like $1,000. So, hey, let's keep this thing going, right? So I ordered the part. It's on its way. And Constance comes in and goes, hey, the washer's not doing that thing anymore. I'm like, ah. So now I know how to fix the washer. If something goes wrong with it, I order an expensive part
for it.
There
you go.
And it'll fix itself. The cool thing is, and I did this on purpose, I ordered it from Amazon because I love Amazon's return policy. It's basically, you return it, we'll give you your money back.
Right.
Right. So now I'm going to give the washer a few days, make sure that it's fixed itself, and send the part back.
All right. So the trick to surviving the zombie apocalypse is to order parts you can't afford for your washing machine.
No, I think the trick to surviving the zombie apocalypse is knowing and having the courage to like hit him in the head and destroy the brain.
Oh yeah.
The trick to getting the good jobs after the government regains control is knowing how to fix your appliances.
So what they're saying, folks, is learn a trade. Is that what they're saying?
Well, I mean, you know, unless you want to be one of those guys that's like learning how to clean toilets, you know. Like, I was a high-powered movie executive. I was closing million-dollar deals last week.
Can you clean a toilet?
Yeah. Well, I just want to say this.
That's right.
You Americans are so fucking pompous. All right, so there was that. Where are we? We're in 20 minutes in. I'm like trying to figure out how many of these things that are like complete bullshit things that I'm going to make entertaining that I want to talk about. Oh.
Just keep going, man. Don't fuck time.
Check this out.
Dude, time doesn't exist. Just keep going.
Oh, that's right. I'm still thinking in linear time. I need to buy that guru's whatever he's selling.
Oh, I'm sure so he's selling this. Something.
So what? About a year to 18 months ago, or maybe only 6 months ago.
Or maybe tomorrow.
I have no idea. It could have been 6 months from now.
It could be tomorrow.
My family gave me a gift certificate to Guitar Center. Because I was saying that I wanted to start playing music again, like getting back into music, doing things with music. Mm-hmm. So I was like, they were asking me what I want. And I never know what I want.
Yeah.
Like for holidays. I don't want anything really. Good foot rub, you know.
Yeah, nothing like good. A good foot rub.
Thing about foot rubs, here's what I hate about getting a foot rub. Is I got some nasty ass feet. Most feet are nasty.
Yeah,
man feet.
But the only feet that aren't nasty are pretty much baby feet. Baby feet aren't nasty.
Women have nice feet. My wife has nice feet. They're not nasty. Yeah. They're good. But you know how much work she puts into those feet? it's like you see your friend with a nice car. It's like shiny. Mm-hmm. It's like no scratches, no rust. The interior is pristine. Mm-hmm. Smells good on the inside. You're like, oh, man, I wish I had a car like this. What your friend doesn't tell you is they spend every spare moment polishing that car, vacuuming it out. Nobody's allowed to eat in it. Right.
Right.
You're not even allowed to fart in their car. Right. If you have had broccoli or beans or some other gaseous food, you're not allowed to ride in their car.
Sauerkraut.
Right? That's how they're able to make it so pristine. Am I right? That's how feet are. And my wife spends that kind of energy and time on her feet. And let me tell you, it pays off. It's worth every minute. Because those feet, she got some great feet, man. I'd eat off those feet. I don't care. I'm not saying I'm into eating off feet. No, that I'm not getting into that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they're clean. They smell good. They're smooth. They ain't got no calluses. Mm-hmm. Ain't got no like yellowing toenail. None of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My feet, on the other hand. Once every few years, though, I do go in and get a pedicure.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about your pedicures before.
Did I tell you about my pedicure?
Yes.
She looks at me, this Asian girl looks at me and is like, how often you get a pedicure? I'm like, every few years. She's like, oh. So you think I should do it more often? Some man come in every few months. I'm like, oh, you think I should come in every few months? More than every few years. I'm like, God.
Every 6 months, apparently, whether you need it or not.
And she's like, okay, we done. I was like, oh, what about the color? I picked out a color. She's like, you want color? I'm like, yeah, I want color. She looks over at all the other people in the thing. She goes, and the whole place erupts in laughter. And I'm like, I'm sure you just said something about me, and I'm sure everybody's laughing at me. I don't know how I know that because I don't understand the language. Why would you get a pedicure and not get color? Wait, what was I talking about?
I want to know what color.
I was talking about the, so I got the, so they got me a gift card to Guitar Center. Because I guess a foot rub is too much to ask. You know, they could get me a gift certificate to the pedicure place.
See, I have no problem with a foot rub, man. I mean, a good foot rub, you feel all the way to your ass. I mean, it's great. While I don't do pedicures and stuff, I do spend a little bit of time because, you know, man feet are disgusting. Like you said, they are disgusting. And I don't wear no flip flops. You ain't catching me walking around in sandals. But you know, when the time comes and you have to be barefoot, you know, and you know those special times, you don't want to wear your socks.
I've seen movies where the cowboy wears his boots.
You don't want to wear, because for one thing, with socks you can't get no traction. You're like sliding all over the place. So the last thing you want to do is scrape a nail on them and hurt somebody. So you got to be careful. You got to take care of that shit.
True. But instead of a foot rub, they got me a gift certificate to Guitar Center. And the other day, my lovely bride tells me Guitar Center is going out of business.
Like as a whole, aren't they like a chain?
That's what she said. The whole thing. I have not independently verified that. But I wasn't taking any chances. So I went out to their website and I bought one of those headphone mixers, like MP Head, with no clear idea of how I'm going to need it or use it. But I just thought that was cool.
It's better to have it and not know how to use it than.
It's better to have it in a box and not ever use it than to have the money that you could have spent on something useful. And the other thing I bought was a cajon.
Oh, we talked about those before.
This came today in the UPS.
He got up your driveway? Because, you got that crazy, incline.
UPS, what they do is they park down on the street and hike up.
Okay.
In the wintertime, they wear like snowshoes and cleats.
Okay.
It's like those cleats that mountain climbers wear. But this thing, you know me, I've always wanted to play drums, right? I've always wanted to play drums in a Weezer cover band called Wheezy. And I bought an electronic drum set, but I'm cheap. So I bought the cheapest one I could find, and it's bullshit. It doesn't really work. I should get rid of it. And then I was like, should I buy an actual drum set? I don't know. They're so loud, take up so much room. And then I was looking on YouTube, looking at other stuff, and I see some guy banging on a box. And I'm like, that box sounds pretty good. What is that? And I did a little research. It's called a cajon. And they're usually about like 3 feet tall by like foot and a half wide and deep. And you sit on it, right? And I thought, first of all, I know they're probably designed for, whatever weight you can put on them. But I'm not buying a musical instrument that I sit on.
That's right.
And then I found out they're like $150. And I was like, well, my gift certificate's only $50. So they make a thing called a mini cajon.
Oh.
And it's only like $40. So I bought it. It came today. And it sounds a little something like this. That's a box, man.
That's crazy. So does like
isn't that something?
Does cajon mean box in Spanish? What is?
I think it means douchebag with a box between his knees.
Cuckoo. You know how I know I'm not an alcoholic?
How do you know you're not an alcoholic?
Because I went shopping the other day and I bought, you know, like a 12-pack of beer. And when I was bringing in my groceries, I got a flight of stairs that I got to go up, you know, and I didn't feel like carrying it up. So I put it at the bottom of the stairs. And then proceeded to have a few drinks that night and was watching a movie. And I ran out of beer. My refrigerator was empty. And I'm like, I thought, oh, man, beer is already all the way down at the bottom of the stairs. I'm like, and all my kids were in bed. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to bed. There was no way I was going down them stairs getting that beer. So I think I'm okay.
I think you're all right, man. I think you're all right. Like an alcoholic would be looking for mouthwash, you know, to drink. But you're like, there's beer down there, but yeah, it's not worth it.
but it's not the least little bit sad that I decided to go to bed instead of like face sobriety.
Yeah, I'd rather be asleep than sober. I had a moment at the grocery store today where I wasn't sure if this makes me an alcoholic or not an alcoholic, or if it has no bearing whatsoever. And it was a thought, and I actually took some growlers with me, and I thought, well, I'll go get some good beer at the craft beer locale nearby. Mm-hmm. And so I had my growlers with me, but I had to go to the grocery store too. I didn't want to be gone too long because the girls were at home doing their homework and dishes and things. I have to tell you how well-trained I have my daughters, which I didn't realize this until today, but I'll come back to that. So I'm at the grocery store and I'm like, okay, I got like this one needed that. I got that. I got all this stuff. I think I've taken up like most of the time. I really need to get back but I still got to stop by the brewery, get those two growlers. I was like, I can buy a case of beer for like 20, I was thinking like 15 bucks. I was like, I can buy a case of Yinglings for like 15.
Were you at the Kroger?
I was at the Kroger's.
Yeah, they usually got a pretty good selection of beer at the Kroger.
They do. But, you know, it'll be revealed soon that the prices aren't that great on the beer at the Kroger's.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, you know what? I could just get a case of beer here for 15 bucks. Because if I go get two growlers, that's going to be, you know, the beer brewery. You can get a growler of beer, which is basically 4 pints,
mm-hmm.
at Sun King on Fridays for $6, which is a good price. Because to get 4 pints at the liquor store of Sun King in cans,
mm-hmm.
is like $11, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good deal. But to get it on any other day, or to go to Beer Brewery, which is a smaller, like really kind of tiny, good beer,
mm-hmm.
it's like $11 or $12 for a growler. So I'm like, I'm going to spend $22 to $24 on a couple of growlers. I can just get a case for 15. I'm just going to do that. So I walk all the way across the grocery store to the liquor area and find the Yinglings, and it's $20 for a case. I'm like, so now I'm starting to do alcoholic math. I'm like, all right, a case will last me this long and get me this buzzed for this long,
mm-hmm.
for this many days for $20, or I could go over there and it'll taste good. I can do that. I was like, hang on. I could get a 1.75 of Skol and some tonic water for $11. That'll last me like a week.
Yeah.
Like, and get me this the same amount of fucked up as the growlers. So I'm doing, like, I'm not doing the math based on, okay, the amount of enjoyment I'll get. I'm like, the amount of intoxication per dollar.
Yeah.
Is the math I'm doing. I'm like, this could be a problem.
You have to throw in the hassle factor, you know. That's the other part of it. Speaking of Sun King, I was at we have an Aldi's up here, and you know, at the Aldi's, I was in Aldi the other day. They've got like they had Sun King in their beer section.
Wow!
And I was like, I thought maybe somebody like left it there or something by accident, but it was like something like cream corn or some shit like that.
Cream ale.
Like, I don't know if that's any good, but the price wasn't all that bad that I can recall. But I'm just like, what if I don't like it? So then I just went across to Walgreens and got a fifth of Evan Williams and just went home.
Yeah, you get drunkenness per dollar.
Nights of enjoyment out of a bottle of Evan Williams.
Welcome back to the show. So what I was going to mention is with this cajon, mm-hmm. I'm trying to say it as South American as I can, because I just don't want to say Cajun, because it's spelled C-A-J-O-N. If I say Cajun, I'm going to sound like a ugly American.
You need to go on one of those websites where they pronounce, you know, words for you and find out, you know, how it's pronounced.
The Great Spirit watches over us. The Great Spirit wants you to know time is an illusion. You were taught from an early age that time is linear. The Great Spirit wants you to know time is not linear. So what I want to do, and MP might be my last hope.
Help me, MP Cavalier. You are my only hope.
MP, if you're listening, I don't want to put any pressure on you, but you're my last hope. I think I could take this little box, and I think I could jam with anybody that wants to jam, you know, like sit around and just,
mm-hmm.
you play your bass, mm-hmm. or your guitar, you know, whatever. We get somebody singing, we get whatever, we get going. I think I could hold a pretty good beat with this thing.
You know, you've always been obsessed with drums though. So yeah,
I play my thighs better than anybody, man. I play a mean thigh.
You play your thighs better than anybody, because no one else can touch my thighs the way I can.
Well, I wouldn't want anybody touching my thighs. My thighs are like my feet. The inside of my thighs got boils and like pock marks and all that shit. Hair, ingrown hairs. I don't want anybody in my thighs unless it's dark and they're drunk. And then I'm okay.
Or any variation they're in.
Or they're on duty. You know, they're being paid. Right? That'd be all right, too. I mean, I can handle that.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Guess what I have?
What do you have?
I have some headlines. I have a cough drop. I noticed in the that last episode, like the entire episode, I'm going, clear your throat. Clear your throat. Clear your throat. Clear your throat. Come on, clear your throat. And I'm like, that must be how people feel when I'm talking to them. Because no amount of clearing my throat is going to make it sound any better. All right. In no particular order. This one is from nature.com. Billion star map of Milky Way set to transform astronomy.
That's a bold statement.
How do you first of all, how does a map transform astronomy? Is it like Stephen Hawking dies and suddenly everybody's an idiot? So I thought you were using math and calculus and like advanced physics and stuff to understand the universe. Suddenly somebody makes a new map. It's like Google Maps comes out and you're like, oh, look. Oh, I guess we didn't know as much about the universe as we thought we did.
Well, but think though about how much people lost their shit about the whole Pluto back and forth. Is it a planet? Is it a moon? Is it a micro planet? People lost their minds over that, and that's just lay people. Imagine astronomers who like spend their entire life. This is what it's like, and suddenly that's not what it's like. then what do they do? They throw themselves out the window.
I guess that's the thing, man. I mean, I guess what I'm wondering is how. So you're, let's say you're an astronomer,
mm-hmm.
right? You've dedicated your life to astronomy. You're some brilliant astrophysicist, and suddenly somebody writes, like, makes a map of the galaxy. I mean, it'd be like you're fucking Lewis and Clark or whatever, right? You go from St. Louis to San Francisco. You get it all figured out, right? And you're like, all right, there's these kinds of people, and there's these kind of rivers, and these kind of canyons and mountains and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what we got going on out there, right? And then, Google Maps comes along and goes, hey, we just made a map of where you were. How does that change anything? I mean, if anything, Lewis and Clark are going to go, oh, yeah. The map you made, yeah, we were there, and we were there, and we were there, right? So if you're an astronomer who's already been studying this, how's a map going to change anything? I don't get it. I wish I could read the article. Clearly, I can't. But I want to read the article to see how is this map going to change. This is the irresponsible nature of headlines. I'll bet you, once I read the article, I'll find out it has nothing to do with the map.
Well, you know, Paul Volstorff will put a link on the group page once he hears this episode. Because he's very...
I hope so.
He's very sciencey.
He is, man. He's a smart dude. You know, I hope if there is a map that it's more accurate than Google Maps. Because there's sometimes I'll be driving on a street and be like, turn left. I'll be like... There ain't no left. I don't know what maps you're using, but. All right. This next one is from Maxim. Fleetwood Mac set to tour for first time in decades without Lindsey Buckingham.
I read that. I read that today. I don't know if I can comment.
Well, I don't know who else is going to. I mean, it's not like I'm going to.
Anybody?
Who are we going to find at this? I mean, it's pretty late notice to find somebody else to comment.
My thing, okay.
So what's up, man?
My thing is this. I love Fleetwood Mac. Always. I preferred them before Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks joined the group when they were a blues band. I thought when Peter Green was the front man for it, I thought they were fucking great. And then, you know, along comes Buckingham and Nicks, and they transform them into this like hit making machine, okay? And I like that too. I think that you know that music is just it's a good band. They're great sound. You listen to a song, yeah, that's Fleetwood Mac right there. You know, there's no mistaking what they sound like. But they've been around for like 80 years. Who the fuck cares anymore? Honestly, how was it? Like, oh no, he left the band. They put out an album like 15, 20 years ago. Who the fuck cares? I don't get why that's even a thing.
Lindsey's a dude?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all right. Dude can be named dude.
Lindsey's the guy. Stevie's the girl.
You know, I had these, my parents' cousins, which were kind of like an aunt and an uncle,
mm-hmm.
were named Lynn and Ricky.
Mm.
Lynn was the man and mm-hmm. Ricky was the woman.
Well, Lynn.
So I can relate to that.
Lynn is a masculine name.
There are females named Lynn.
Well, yes, but it's Lynn's like Morgan. Morgan can be male or female, but Lindsey
or Pat.
Yeah, Pat. But Lindsey, no, Lindsey can't be. Find me one other Lindsey who happens to be a man.
I like the way that you started out this conversation about Fleetwood Mac, because not only were you a hipster in that conversation, you're like, oh, I like Fleetwood Mac. Like,
did you see my eyebrows?
Your eyebrows were up, your eyes were closed. If anybody ever says Fleetwood Mac, the thing that anybody immediately says is Stevie Nicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like a deep cut person, you'll go Lindsey Buckingham, right? So Stevie Nicks, so you're like, oh, well, you know, I like Fleetwood Mac before Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham joined. Like before anybody had ever heard of them. Basically before they formed the band. I liked them when they were thinking about forming a band. And before the founder even joined the band. So I was like, first of all, that's very hipster, which is awesome. Second of all, you're talking about Fleetwood Mac, which is before any hipster was even born, which makes you more hipster than any hipster I've ever met.
I do this. Right? I do this all ironically.
You and MP should totally start that show.
We will. It's just a matter of time. One final note about Fleetwood Mac. Universally loved by females. If you like, well, this doesn't apply to you anymore because you're married and have been so for
ever.
Ever. Okay, if you're, fellas, the single fellas out there. If you're not sure what to play to get your lady in the mood, as long as your lady is like 28 and older, Fleetwood Mac does it every time. Like Colt 45, Fleetwood Mac works every time.
Does it work as well, though? Because there's something about a physical intoxicant that gets your lady ready in a way that simple music, you know, normally cannot. Just ask Bill Cosby.
That's right. I put the Colt 45 in the glass and I hand it to the lady and I have her put the roofie in the drink and I have her drink it and she drinks a drink and the roofie and the drink and she drinks a drink of the drink and the drink and the drink.
This one is from The Mirror, which is a UK rag. Sex toys inspired by the Avengers are released, including a dildo shaped like Thor's hammer. Many is the time that I've said, as I'm getting in the, as we're getting in the mood with the lady, you know, and I like the music's playing, I got the lights down low, maybe I'm burning a little incense. Maybe I gave her a few oysters, you know, and she's in the mood, I'm in the mood, and I go, baby, get ready for Thor's hammer. Which is kind of funny because, you know, every family has their little cute name for when the kids are young for the body parts, right? Mm-hmm. Like the pee-pee, the wiener, the wee-wee. My family's, and I shit you not, this is the absolute truth, and my brother can confirm this, was hammer. So the penis was known as the hammer. And I never even gave it a second thought until I'm grown up, talking to my wife, talk about the hammer, right? She's like, what?
I hope that wasn't during sexy time. Everybody? And she's like, you're like, baby, you're ready for the hammer. And she's like, what?
Yeah. You ready for the hammer? And I never knew what the female part of that anatomy was called, but at some point, I'm glad my mom doesn't listen. My mom is talking to my wife, and like there was an ultrasound of somebody's baby,
mm-hmm.
and she goes, and we knew it was a girl because there was the hamburger.
Oh yeah. When before my oldest was born, and we went in for the ultrasound, and the technician, she's like, "Well, it's a girl because there's the hamburger." I fucking died. I think the whole hospital heard me laughing. I'm like, but I looked at it, I'm like, "Cause it's a fucking hamburger."
It's like, if you're just, like, euphemisms are supposed to soften the blow
yes.
of the thing.
Yep.
Right? It's like, oh, you're going to do, you're going to go in there and do the marital thing. Oh, marital aids. You're gonna do the nasty. It's supposed to soften the blow.
Mm-hmm.
But you call it a hamburger. There's nothing more graphic. Like immediately, what comes to mind is a hamburger with lettuce. And you're like, what's the lettuce? And you're like, oh my god, I can see it. You just painted a mental image. Hoo-ha would have been better.
Yeah.
Than hamburger.
Hoo-ha is an acceptable substitute for hamburger. Although I don't want the ultrasound tech going, well, there's your little hoo-ha, because I've
how about veg?
Well, either one of those terms don't work, because you and I have both probably.
But JJ.
Yeah, you know we've word searched those, so I don't know if we want to go there with that.
Coos. There's our coos. Like, well, okay, so Thor's hammer. I don't understand why you would want a dildo. First of all, euphemisms aside, right? A dildo shaped like Thor's hammer seems, I suppose, oh, you would turn it around. So you wouldn't put the business end.
Wham.
some women like that. Whack.
Why? Well, maybe I'm going to hit your hamburger with a hammer.
All right, honey, I'm going to pound your hamburger with this here
like
Thor's hammer.
Meat tenderizer. You're like, I don't.
Oh Lord,
I don't know about all that. All I know is I don't want to be. I wouldn't want her to like. I wouldn't want to be the guy that had to model for the Ant-Man size dildo.
I read that and I thought, sex toys inspired by the Avengers. So Iron Man, who are the Avengers? I get confused as a non-devotee. I get super confused. So the Avengers, mm-hmm. who are they? There's the Hulk, mm-hmm. the Thing. There's Iron Man. Mm-hmm. There's Ant-Man. There's Black Panther. There's Thor. Who am I missing? I'm up to six. How many more are there?
I want to know what fills in for Black Widow. Because
Black Widow. There's a sex toy that will eat you.
And I want to size compare the Hulk and the Black Panther. I'm curious.
This one's green. This one's black.
But they're the same. Anyway, maybe we should move on.
What a top.
All right, here's a little segment we like to call hashtag what's on the page. Paul Volstorf informs us that a study has revealed that Uranus smells of farts. Uranus, the first planet discovered in modern times, has the poetic name of the Greek god of heavens. In the English language, is unfortunately the god of farts. So Paul Schultz said NASA scientists get pink eye from studying Uranus too closely. And then I thought a long time about this. I was like, coronal mass ejection? There's a lot of ways you can get pink eye. I'm just saying. I've never gotten pink eye. I've gotten plenty of styes in my eye.
Mm-hmm. I've lucked out. Which is, never had either.
It's kind of like a pimple on the underside of your eyelid.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can get pink eye from somebody farting in your face.
Well, it's essentially getting the bacteria, whatever, from poop in your eyeball.
I've heard poop is sterile. Like, you can eat poop.
You can eat a lot of things, but you can't shove a lot of things in your eye.
All right. Agree to disagree.
Maybe we should look into it.
We should do an experiment in the name of research.
The things we do for this show.
Oh, fudge.
All right. So I got to ask, I've seen the headlines about the Avengers Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about it, like, breaking records and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that big of a deal? I mean, is this something, like, that you guys in the business, like, are really looking forward to, or what's up?
Well, it's been 10 years in the making, so yes. They've been alluding to this happening for 10 years. It's been, in 2008, Iron Man came out. And then, you know, Avengers and Thor and things, and everything in it has led up to this point. So this is a big deal for us to see it all come to a head.
All right. So Avengers Infinity War, and I read this elsewhere, and so to have you say it only mm-hmm. confirms it, which is the directors, the creators, mm-hmm. the whatevers, the writers. They're saying this has been 10 years in the making and we're ready for it to be done. We're ready to move on to something else, tell another story. And I didn't know for sure what they were talking about. But now that you say Iron Man came out 2008, you mm-hmm. know, 10 years ago, then of course you had multiple Iron Man movies. You had Thor, multiple Thor movies. Then actual Guardians of the Galaxy, a couple of those. Captain America had a few movies. And then, of course, the Avengers had some movies. And now, so this, like wraps it all up and brings it all to a head with the ultimate villain who's super powerful and somebody might die.
Yes.
Who do you hope it is?
Who do I Seriously. Hope it is? Or who do
you
I...
Tell me.
Who do I you hope fear dies? It is?
Who do you hope? Who do you hope it is? Who do you want to die? Black Widow?
Mm.
You can say it, even though she's a woman and black.
She's not black. Well, I don't know. My fear is that it's Captain America because Chris Evans doesn't want to be doing Captain America anymore. Robert Downey Jr. doesn't want to be doing Iron Man anymore. But my gut tells me it's going to be a bunch of people that we don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
Like Hawkeye could die for all I care and the world wouldn't cry.
The interesting way that comic books work, and when I was reading this interview with these guys, it kind of made sense, which is any of them could die, right? It doesn't really matter because the way comic books work is, yeah, somebody dies because somebody, the question to the creators was, do you think the fans are really committed to somebody dying? And they're like, well, I think the fans are committed to stakes and like mm-hmm. high stakes. And like, if you know that nobody's going to die, like, what are the stakes? It's like, oh, we're all going to come out okay in the end.
Mm-hmm.
No, somebody dying and the possibility of somebody dying is part of what makes comics awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few years later, somebody else comes along and figures out a way to reboot that character.
Yeah.
And they show up again and they tell a different story, you know,
yeah,
about that character. So, you know, Iron Man could die, you know, and then 5 years from now, somebody decides to do an Iron Man reboot.
Right.
And they either start over like Star Trek did, or they go, oh, well, it's, you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark's nephew, you know, decides to be Iron Man or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever they do. Right.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I think, you know, I guess I enjoyed the Iron Man movies,
mm-hmm.
but as I'm sitting here listening, I think I saw one of the Captain America movies. I don't think I've seen any of the rest of those movies. Yeah,
the Captain America movies are some of my favorites because, like, they're not so much because of the fact that he doesn't really have any, like, yeah, okay, he's got powers, but his powers are not unbelievable. Okay, you like the Bourne Identity movies? I love the Bourne Identity movies. That Captain America is like Bourne Identity kind of power.
Hmm.
But it's the suspense and the drama and the melodrama that's attached to him that I just ate it up. As far as somebody dying in movies, to me that just seems kind of like secondary to... I don't care if a character doesn't have to die in a movie. What has to happen in a plot for me is some sort of impact on characters has to happen. Otherwise, it's just, you know, it's just a bunch of people in silly costumes running around, you know, having an adventure. I think there has to be some sort of...
Reminds me of college.
There has to be some sort of impact for the characters.
Yeah.
Because the lead characters in their own movies, they did, you know, Iron Man didn't die, but things happened to him that affected his character. Cap didn't die, but things affected his character. Thor, Ant-Man, and so on and so forth. You know, they don't have to die. We just live in this society where we expect it, you know, and we want it to happen.
That's a good note to end on. Whenever we're talking about people yearning for death. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, hey, go out there to Apple Podcasts and give us a review. You know, click on the stars or whatever. Right. Share it. Share that Apple Podcast link. Share the Podbean link. Share the YouTube. Do whatever, man. Just tell your friends. If you like what you hear, tell people. We love it when you do that.
And explain to them what a podcast is so they actually will listen to it.
That's a good idea. All of that having been said, for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you just heard was true. Was true. Was true. Was true. Was true.
Now when the day goes to sleep and the full moon looks, and the night is so black that the darkness cooks, you come creeping around, making me do things I don't wanna do. Believe that you need my love so bad. The cops sneaking around trying to drive me mad. Busting in on my dreams, making me see things I don't want to see. You're the green minor leashy with a two-pronged crown. All my trying is up, all you're bringing is down. Just taking my love and slipping away, leaving me here just trying to keep from following you.
Oh, bullshit.